So we're up to the Sugya on Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph in Bava Kamma. And let's just see what we know and what we don't know. We're actually about halfway through the Amud. And if you look at Amale Lo Shamati, that's really where we ended. And it's exactly parallel to a Tosis Dibra Meskel My Love. But the truth is that it's very difficult to start where we left off in this case, because we left off in an answer to a question. So I think it makes sense that we review the question. Rabbi Yochanan made a statement, and the Gemara is not sure exactly what he meant by that statement. Before Rabbi Yochanan, we had Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, who insists that Toin Tainas Ganav Bepikadon is only Chayav Kefel if, number one, after his Taina, he took a Shvua, and that turns out to be a Shvua Sheker. Number two, that he was Sholeach Yad Bepikadon, which means that according to Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, A plus B equals C, meaning there's a combination here of various violations, of various criminal averos, and only when you have the sum total of this whole conglomeration, only then do you pay kefa. And that means that number one, the shomer had to be kofer. Kofer means he lied and he said that he's not in any way responsible for this cow that he received. Number two, he took a shvua to that effect, and that was a false shvua. And number three, to top it off, he was sholeach yad b'pikadon. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan, and he argues that even in the case of omedes al avusa, which means basically that he hasn't used the object, there was no shlichas yad b'pikadon.
That's crazy.
Nevertheless, he's chayev kefel. And the Gemara has a suffix. This suffix was a dialogue between Rab Zera and Rab Chiya Bar Abba. Not Rab Chiya Bar Yosef, but Rab Chiya Bar Abba. And the question is, did Rab Yochanan mean to say that he's only Chayev Kefel if and when he was not Sholeach Yad B'Pikad? And that's called Dafka. But if he was Sholeach Yad B'Pikad, and then for some strange unknown reason to us, he will not pay Kefel. Or did he mean to say that even if he was not Sholeach Yad B'Pikadon, he would be Chayev Kefel, and certainly how much more so if in addition to being Kofer B'Pikadon with the Shvua Sheker, etc., he also at the same time was in violation of Shlichas Yad B'Pikadon. That's upgrade. That's for sure that he would be Chayev Kefel. So again, according to the first side, the Shlichas Yad B'Pikadon undermines the Kefel. According to the second side, you don't need Shlichas Yad B'Pikadon, but certainly the additional violation of Shlichas Yad B'Pikadon would Alachas Kama Kama generate a Chiyuv Kefel. So what we want to understand now is, what's the logic that underlies the first side of Rab Zera's Suffolk? Why would Rab Yochanan be of the opinion that Shlichas Yad B'Pikadon would undermine his Chiyuv Kefel? I mean, Vos Artmir, why should it bother me if in addition to all the other violations of denying that he has the cow, of taking a shmua to that effect of false oath, on top of that he was also Shalech Yad B'Pikadon. So Magil Opras, you know, we want to give him a gift for that? And we're going to say, therefore, he's off the hook as far as Kefel is concerned. So here we have to introduce a concept which we've had in the past, in the long distant past, that sometimes, oddly enough, the gazlan is left off the hook simply because he's a gazlan. We called it, if you remember, crime pays. Sometimes, paradoxically, in the halakhic universe, crime actually pays off. What does that mean? For example, if, let's say, a gazlan is koneh, That's not our sugya.
Yeah, right.
I'll get to our sugya. I'm just giving you a beispiel, a comparison. If a gazlan is kone through whatever kinyan exela there are, I mean that's itself would requires months and months of research. But whatever those kinyanim are, then paradoxically he's going to gain by this. What is he going to gain? If let's say the object goes up in value, then he gets the shvach. He gets the increment. So therefore, a mayor makes the famous statement that if you consign a dyer, D-Y-E-R, to dye your wool red and he dyes it black, then since he was kone b'shinui, Rabbi Meir says that he'll only have to pay the nigzal, the owner, the value of raw natural wool, which is a fraction of dyed wool, in this case black wool. Okay, the Balabais wanted red wool because he was buying it for his wife. You know, he was not buying it, but he was having it dyed for paying this uman, this tzaba, to dye it red. But on the market, a black dyed wool is worth much more than natural wool for people who like black. And all the increment now accrues to the gazlan because he was kone b'shinui. Okay, now just having said that, which is an old sugya, just to remind you, now we have our sugya. There's one side in Reb Zera's understanding of Reb Yochanan that crime pays. What does that mean, crime pays? That paradoxically, by virtue of the fact that this gazlan, this ganav I should say, not gazlan, ganav in our case, was shaleach yad b'pikadon, he did a double avera, an additional criminal act. He had no right, and he misappropriated this cow or this ox by using it. He did harisha with the shor. Then by adding insult to injury, he now is left off the hook as far as kefil is concerned. Why is that so? And the answer is because a sholeach yad b'pikadon has the status of a gazlan. For example, he's chayev ba'onsim. So again, all that makes sense, and therefore we're going to be very harsh with him and demanding of him as far as compensation and payment because he was not only a shomer, but he made himself into a gazlan. That makes sense. But paradoxically, he's now alleviated from kefa. And why is that? Because the ultimate chiyuv of kefel comes at the moment of shvua, when he takes the false oath. Because toin tanis ganu pipikodon, again, without the middle of the sandwich, which is going to be shaleach yad in this particular scenario, but leaving out the middle of the sandwich, the bookends are, number one, the kfira, namely when he denied that he has Yenim's cow, and the end of the bookend, the end zone, is going to be the shvua sheker. Now, in this case, the shvua sheker is the clincher that makes him into a ganav to pay kefel, but sandwiched in the middle between these two bookends was a shlichus yad b'pikadon. At that moment, he was kona with gzela haraya. He's chayv ba'onsin, right? Whenever you want to indicate bailus over something, you're chayv ba'onsin. The chayv onsin is always your classical way of indicating that you became the owner of the object. And I'll explain that in just 1 minute, but just before, I don't want to lose the trend here. So in the case of a Toin Tanis Ganav Pikadon who used the object for himself, right? He took the ox and he did harisha, what's that called in English? Threshing?
No,
plowing, and he plowed with this ox. So at that moment he became a gazlan, and now he has a kinyan on this ox. Once he has a kinyan on the ox, he can never become a ganav on this ox. And even though he was already a ganav when he denied owning or holding on to the ox, but nevertheless, that's not enough to make him a ganav for kefel. The clincher is going to be when he takes the false shvua. And before he took the false shvua to complete the process of gneva and generate a chiyuv kefel, he was shaleach yad b'pikadon. That gives him a kinyan gazlan, and now he can no longer become a ganav at the moment of the shvua, because that shvua was on an object that he had already acquired ownership over by virtue of the shlichus yad b'pikadon. That's the first sign in Reb Zera. Now just, again, if you don't mind, just giving you a little background. How do I know that a chiyuv onsim is indicative of ownership? And the answer is that that's a sugya at the beginning of Bava Kama. Oh, actually, we're learning Bava Kama. I forgot. So, no, it slipped my mind for a second. It's such a massive masechta. So at the beginning of Baba Kama, there's a principle called Ein Shomin L'Shoel. And what does that mean? That means that a Shoel, if the animal dies, let's say he borrowed someone's cow, and the cow died, the Shomer, the Shoel, is Chayav for Onsin. But and the Gemara says Ein Shomin. What does Ein Shomin mean? The live cow was worth 5. The carcass is worth 1. Now logically, give me a knee-jerk response. So I'm asking for the wrong answer, but the wrong answer in this case will be the right answer. Okay? What would you say? How much should the Shoel be paying now when he's Chayav for Onsin and the cow died?
4.
He should be paying 4. Come and take your carcass. So that would be Yesh Shuma. What Yesh Shuma means, that we'd have to bring in an expert to evaluate the carcass. How much does the carcass sell for? There's the hides and the meat, you know, to sell it to Goyim, or whatever the case may be. And that number will be subtracted from the value of the animal live, and the Shoel should pay the differential. But we paskin ain't Shomin L'Shoel, which means the Shoel has to pay the full 5, and the Shoel is going to have to sell the carcass. So my Rebbe used to always say that why is it that the Shoel has to deal with the carcass? Why Ein Shomin L'Shoel? And he used to say that the Chiv Onsin of the Shoel indicates that he, by virtue of the fact that he has use of the Shoel, of the She'el, of the object, makes him into an owner of the animal. And as such, if the animal cannot be returned because it's dead now, then he has to pay the damim of the animal. And the carcass is his. His in this case means it's the Shoel's. And that's the paradox of Ein Shomin L'Shoel. Because if not for this paradox, simple pshat would have demanded that the owner is the owner of the carcass, and the Shoel will say, look, I'm responsible to compensate you for that differential, but it's your carcass, it's not mine. I never purchased this carcass. I'm not in the hide business, you know, I didn't buy Nevela. But the answer is, by virtue of the fact that you're Chayav Ba'onsim, you are the Bailim. And on a deeper level, this is more philosophy, what it really means is that only an owner can be Chayav Ba'onsim. There really is no such thing in the world of Nezikin as responsibility for onus. It just doesn't make one bit of sense. Because these were circumstances beyond my control. How can you tell me I have to pay you and compensate for you? The answer is that who suffers in the case of an onus? The owner of the cow. If I own a cow, and the cow is struck by lightning, I can come to the Ribono Shel Olam in front of the Bezin Shel Mala and say, God, I want you to pay me up for the cow, because you brought the lightning on my cow. But it's not going to help. You know, you can get the best lawyer in the country, who might be, you know, the president's right hand man, and maybe he wears a yarmulke on Shabbos. It's not going to help you. You can be. You can't make the Ribono Shel Olam pay for lightning. You know, the lightning is part of a divine scheme. You know that you could argue. I don't know. You know, you have to know a lot about Hashgacha Pratis. All right. O Dilma, the second side in Reb Zeira, was Afilu Omedes al Avusa Karma, meaning Reb Yochanan is of the opinion that you can do away with Shlichas Yad B'Pikadon and still engender a Chiyuv in Toin Tanis Gan of Kefel, but you're not upset or your Chiyuv Kefel is not undermined by the fact that he was also Shaleach Yad B'Pikadon. And apparently in the second side of Reb Zera's understanding of Reb Zera the Afilu, you should underline the word afilu here. What he means to say is that even though in truth the Shalech Yad B'Pikadon is Chayev for Onsim, because he becomes a Gazlan through Shluchus Yad, but nevertheless he's not the full-fledged owner, and we can still be Metzareif, we can link together the original beginning of Gneva, right? The first stage in Gneva, which was the Kfira itself. And that we had already in the name of Rav Sheshis, that once the Shomer is Kofer, B'Pikadon, and he really has the Pikadon, that itself, even without the Shvua, makes him into a Ganav to some extent, he's Chayav for Onsim. And link that up with the ultimate clincher, the Makabah Patish of the Shvua. And maybe basically the whole issue of Rabbi Zera and his Safek, you know, hinges on one of two Chakiros, if you will, one of two Sveikas. Either he's vacillating about the nature and the scope the extent of a kinyan gzela in the case of sholeach yad b'pikadon, or he's vacillating as to what the machayev of kefal is in the case of toin tainus l'kod. Is it the kfira, but the shvuah is just a clincher, it's a tnai, so to speak, it's a condition, or no, it's the shvuah together with the original kfira, but the shvuah plays a major primary role, and since he was already a gazlan through shlichus yad b'pikadon, he can no longer be chayev for the shvuah for kefal. So Rav Chia responded to Rav Zera, and he said, Lo Shamat, meaning I'm a Talmud of Rav Yochanan, but I never heard any clarity on this issue. However, Kayotze Bazeh Shamat, I heard something else from Rav Yochanan, and I think by analogy, the second statement of Rav Yochanan could answer the question about the ambiguity in the first statement of Rav Yochanan. And what did I hear from Rav Yochanan? The Omer of Asi, Omer Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi was the Talmud Muvok of Rav Yochanan. And Rav Chia was a Talmud of Rav Asi. Many of the things that he heard in the name of Rav Yochanan, he heard it through Rav Asi. Hatoin Tainas Aveda, in the Gemara it says Avad, Vinishba. Now here's an interesting case. What happens if the mafkid demands more than one shvuah? Meaning, on the first round, he demanded from the shomer a shvuah. We're going to soon see that he can demand three different shvuahs. We'll get to that. And then after the shomer went ahead and took that shvuah, and it was a false shvuah, then once again, the mafkid came along and said, you know what? I don't believe your oath. I want another oath. V'chazar v'ton tainis ganav. And the shomer took a second oath, but it was fundamentally different than the first oath.
How?
How? In the first case, the shomer took an oath to the effect that the object is not in my hands. It's lost. I don't know how it got out. You know, it broke through the corral. In the second case, the oath was that somebody came into my corral and stole the animal. And once again, he took a shvuah. So what's happening now is that there are two shvuahs, both of which, as we soon see, are going to be established as shvuahs sheker. Ubo edim, and now the edim came and they testified that he, the shomer, is holding on to this cow. He took a shvuah sheker that it was lost. He took a second shvuah sheker that it was stolen. And now, what would you say about kefal? Adarav, I would say intuitively, kal v'chor should be chayev kefal. Maybe should be chayev arba v'chamisha in this case. Not only did he take one false shvuah, he took twice a false shvuah. And to our surprise, counterintuitive,
potter.
He doesn't pay kefal. So the Gemara says, what could be the reason in the world? I mean, what could be the logic to compel Rabbi Yochanan to the conclusion that he doesn't pay kefa? My taima, love, should it not be mishum dekana? Okay, now that's a word that has to be, you know, filled in. There's like missing blanks over here. Kana literally means he acquired, but it doesn't say what he acquired. And what did he acquire?
The
behemah. The behemah. He acquired the pikana. And the proof of the pudding is that according to the Gemara back on Daf Kuf Heyam and Beis, any kofer b'pikadon becomes a gazlan even before he takes the shvuah by virtue of his kfira. In other words, once he denies the claim that he has somebody's cow, that itself makes him into a gazlan. He's chayav ba'onsim. And therefore, b'shvuah rishona, after he took already the first shvuah, to bolster his taita of Avad, when in fact he's still holding on to it, now he becomes a gazlan. The chiyuv of kefel is engendered by virtue of a shvuah shenignav. Great, toin tainus ganav b'pikadon, and then he takes a shvuah that it was stolen. That's the second shvuah in this series. But already wedged in between the first shvuah and the second shvuah was the kinyan gzela. Why was he koneh before the second shvuah? Because he claimed that it was lost, once he claims it was lost. He even took a shvuah to that effect, which was a false oath. At that point, he becomes a gazlan. He's chayv onesim. And if that be the case, says Rabbi Yochanan, there's no way that he could ever be chayv on this cow, kefel, as a ganav, because subsequent to the first claim of Aveda, he became a gazlan. It's now his cow, paradoxically. But we know already there's such a thing as a kinyan gazlan, and in this case, the kinyan gazlan comes to the, is expressed itself in the fact that he's chayev ba'onsim, and therefore, by analogy, if we apply this to our case of the sholeach yad b'pikadon, means before he took the second, before he took the shvua, he was sholeach yad b'pikadon, he's potter mikefel by virtue of the fact that he was already a gazlan through the shlichas yad b'pikadon. So the Gemara has the following analogy, the following equation. Case A and case B. Case A is where he was kofer b'pikadon through a tainas aved, and the same case number B, he's a shlichas yad b'pikadon. In both cases, before the shvua on gneva, he already became a gazlan who's chayv ba'onsim, and therefore he cannot be chayv kefel by virtue of the shvua of gneva, which normally would have been Mechayev Kefel.
But when he became a gazlan, he doesn't necessarily own it at that time.
Well, again, we're assuming now, Alan, that's the rule, that since he's Chayev Ba'onsim, which is the Gemara back on Daf Kuf Hei Amid Beis, therefore he's an owner. He's a gazlan. And if he wasn't an owner of the animal, if there were no Kinyon Gzela, he would not be Chayev Ba'onsim.
Well, even if you're a Shoel, you're Chayev Ba'onsim, don't you?
Well, a shoel is chai for onsim because he's a bialin. What makes him into a bialin? The fact that he has all the heter tashmishin. He's totally in control of use of the object. The mashal can no longer use the object, and only the shoel could use the object.
But he's not a baal.
That gives him bialus. That's why I tried to prove before, I don't know if you were with me, about ain shomin l'shoel. That's why he has to pay the full 500, and he can't tell him, you take the carcass and sell it on the market.
Yeah, but then he becomes a bialin after it's dead.
He was a bialin once he has the object.
Even from the time,
and I'll tell you something even more than that, Alan. But this is a secret you can't reveal. If Reuven comes into your corral and he starts using your cow or your ox, he becomes a gazlan.
But does he own it?
And he owns it.
And
what makes him into a gazlan? You know what that's called in the Gemara's language? Shoel sheh. Shalomidas. Okay, I thought you were familiar with that. Shol Shalomidas Gazlan Havi, the Gemara says. You see that use of the object when you misappropriate someone else's object gives you kinyonim. So that's the case of a shol. The reason why Yechayven owns him is because you have kinyonim as a gazlan. The same thing applies when a person is kofir b'pikadon. He now becomes an owner of the animal because he's chayv owns him. And number two, the same applies in the case of a person who is sholeach yad b'pikadon, who's likewise chayv ba'onsim, because he becomes the gazlan and the owner of the object. So Rav Zera says, no, don't make this equation. Amar le, Rav Zera says, look, the reason why in this case where he took two shvuas, the first shvu on Aveda, the second shvu on Gneva, he's not chayv kefel, is for a different reason. Hoil v'yotza yidei Bailim b'shvua rishona. In other words, the second shvua on Gneva is superfluous. What do I mean superfluous? That's a funny kind of word.
Didn't do anything.
We said many times in the course of our learning that a shvua is not an oath, period. I can take an oath here in this room. That's not the shvua that we're talking about. We're talking about what's called a shvuas hadayon. Shvuas HaDayonim has all sorts of preconditions. For example, it has to be in front of Beis Din. Not only that, he can't jump and take the shvu on his own initiative voluntarily. You remember any of this?
Yeah.
But rather, it has to be imposed upon him by Beis Din.
Right.
Could be that even if the mafkid is mashbia the shomer, and the shomer responds amen, even in the presence of Beis Din, it could be that that's not called the Shvuas HaDayonim. It has to be administered by the Beis Din. Now, Beis Din will not administer, despite the yelling and screaming of the mafkid, a second shvuah. In other words, as far as the bialim and their power to influence or demand Beis Din to impose and demand a shvuah, that koach of the bialim is chad pami, as we say. You know, it's like a disposable. I mean, in my house, I don't know about yours, we use disposables over and over again. But in the original scheme of things, you know, you're meant to chuck it out as soon as you use it once. And if you don't do that, you might be chayiv in tefillas kelim.
That's right.
I.e., you know, Hellman's mayonnaise jars, which we use, you know. You can open up the closet in my house, you'd probably find five Hellman's mayonnaise jars. Not
them.
One of them.
You share them. You don't have to.
Okay, but I'm just saying, the best way of not having to be teufel this, unless you lie on the heter of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that it wasn't manufactured for the purpose of a clay seudah, again, that's a lot of lumpness on that, but the best way is not to reuse a disposable. Do you remember these things called broiling foils? Right? Anyway, so getting back to our sugya here, when the mafkid demands a shvuah from the shomer, where's my cow, and you're denying that you have it, you have to take a shvua, Bezdin will comply with his request, his demand, one time around. The second shvua is already a different kind of shvua. It's not the shvua vis-a-vis the Bailim, it's the shvua that, in a psychological sense, the shomer took on his own initiative to show and demonstrate how, you know, how convinced he is, or how honest he is. You know, I'm even going to take a second shvua. You know, that
the first shvua,
the fact is stolen. Oh, does it negate or does it not negate? I don't know. What are you saying?
If you said it's lost, you started to say it was lost.
Right.
Then it could have been stolen. Why was it lost? Because it was stolen.
Right.
So
yeah. Okay, that's an interesting point. But that strengthens my position, I think. So I give you Yashu Kara for that. You know, that doesn't usually happen in this class. That's kind of rare. But, yeah.
Come again.
He said, come again. Bring some friends. What's being said here is that the second shvua really doesn't add anything to the first shvua, because what determines whether the second shvua has the status of a chal Hashem shvua satayonim to engender a chiyuv kefal in this case? It all depends upon whether the initiative here and the schus, the tviya, is the plaintiff. The plaintiff, the mafkid in this case, has rights to demand that shvua. Or is it a shvua that in effect is taken by the shomer on his own initiative? And that's the contingency here that's going to tip the scale as to whether it's a shvua sadayon, whether it can engender a chiyuv kefal. So what Rabbi Zeira's point here is that since yotzi yidei bailim, meaning as far as the bailim are concerned, the mafkid, this shomer is already fulfilled his obligations. The mafkid could yell and scream, "I don't believe you and I don't trust you." There's no reason in the world why the shomer is obligated to take a second shvua.
That's what yotzi yidei bailim means.
That's what yotzi yidei bailim means. Yotzi yidei bailim
meant that he's no longer baal on it because he was mafkia from him by the shvua of the goslin.
Well, when you say that he was mafkia the status of a ganav because he becomes a gazlan, then you're going back to the first
one. No, he's mafkia the bailis of the owner.
Then that's the first understanding. Yeah. That the very moment that he took the first shvua, he was mafkia the bailis, and therefore he's no longer chayv kefal because it's his. It belongs to the ganav. That would support our position that according to Rabbi Yochanan, even if he was Sholeach Yad B'Pikadon, he would still engender a Chiyuv Kefal after he took the Shvuah. But now Rabbi Zeira is saying no, that in the case of Toein Tainas Ganav in the case of Sholeach Yad B'Pikadon, it could very well be that he's Chai of a Shvuah, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Why is he put in the case of the double shvua? That's because yotza, again the language is, yotza yidei bailim. As far as the bailim is concerned, the shomer was yotze b'shvua rishona. He fulfilled any obligation vis-a-vis his bailim. And therefore the shvua, the second shvua, is not a shvua, as far as kefal is concerned. Alright. Itmar Nami, Omer Rabbi Ovin, Omer Rabbi Ilo, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. We actually have a tradition in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that will explicitly address our question. Hatoein Tainas Aveda B'Pikadim V'Nishpa V'Chazim V'Ton Tainas Gneva V'Nishpa Bo Eidim. Rabbi Yochanan says he's potter, but here in this tradition he added an explanation as to why he's potter. You and I would have said, well, maybe he's potter because he was Chayev Ba'onsim the very moment he took the first Shvua, and therefore he cannot be Chayev Kefel as a ganov for stealing his own cow. No. Rabbi Yochanan says, Hoel v'yotza bailim b'shvua rishona. Once he took the first shvua of Avad, is the second shvua is not going to generate a chiyuv kefel. And if that's the reason, Rabbi Yochanan, apparently we can derive the conclusion. This is going to be a gigantic machlokes Rishonim at this point, but many Rishonim are going to say that the final bottom line of the sugya is that in the case where after the first shvua he was sholeach yad v'pikadon, he is indeed, according to Rabbi Yochanan, chayav a chiyuv kefel, despite the fact that he was sholeach yad v'pikadon. And I'll read to you the language of the Rush in Simon Chavtes, which is quoted here in the footnote. And the Rush says the following: Kishem she'en liftar es hashomer nishpa she'ovet apikod machma she'kones apikod. And just like Rabbi Yochanan refused to explain that the case of the double shvua, that Rabbi Yochanan refused to accept that he's part because he was kone the pikadon, is memela hu adin she'en lefocho im sholech yad bepikadon. The Rush is saying that the bottom line in Rabbi Yochanan is the afilu. Afilu is the second side in Rabbi Zera's saw. And the Rush is not just alone, the Rashba says it explicitly. However, in the Rambam's frame of reference, there's a whole to-do with a long discussion here from the Magid Mishnah. I'm going to leave that out for the time being. Okay. Omer Rav Sheshes, HaToein Tainas Ganav V'Pikadon Kevon Sheshalach Bo Yad Potur. Rav Sheshes explicitly accepts, he adopts the first tzad of Rav Zera's Sofek in Rav Yochanan, namely that once he was Sholech Yad Pikadon, he was Mafkia himself from the Shvua. I'm sorry, from Kefel. And again, the explanation was because through the Shlichus Yad Pikadon he was Koneh, and therefore he is basically stealing through the Shvua subsequently his own ox. However, the Chiddush of Rav Sheshes is that he sees it in the Pasuk. And this Rav Sheshes is the exact opposite of Rav Chiya Bar Abba. Rav Chiya Bar Abba read the same pasuk, as we'll soon see, and he came to the conclusion that Toin Tanis Gadim Pikadon is Chayav Kefil only if he was Sholeach Yad Pikadon. Rav Sheshes reads the same verse and he comes to the opposite conclusion, that he's only Chayav Kefil if he, in event that he has not been Sholeach Yad Pikadon. So let's see the way Rav Sheshes wants to read the pasuk, then we'll go back to Rav Chiya and see how Rav Chiya read the pasuk. V'nikrav hachikom rachmona. This is what the Torah means. V'nikrav balabais el Elohim. The Torah says that he has to pay kefil in the case where he came to the Elohim is the Dayanim and he took the Shvua. And then it says, imlo shalach yodo. V'molechas reyehu. It's the end of the pasuk. In other words, when is the Shomer going to incur a chiyuv kefil? That's only in this case where he was not sholeach yad pikadon. Once he was sholeach yad pikadon, he was kona as a gazlan, and then he's not chayav kefil. Now we go back to read Rav Chiya. He read that einu chayav ela ad she yishlach bo yad. My time of v'nikra bal bais Elohim im lo shalach yado v'molechas reyehu. Michwal the ishalach boyad mechayev. In other words, what the Torah is saying, according to the way Rav Chiya reads the pasuk, is im lo shalach yodim lechas reyu, then the Torah says he's potur. And the implication is that if he was shalach yad v'bikon, then and only then is he chayev. So basically, Rav Osai, if we summarize our sugi, we have really three different opinions. We have Rav Sheshes on one extreme and Rav Chiya on the other extreme, and then we have Rav Yochanan right in the middle. Whereas Rav Sheshes holds that you're only chayav kefil for toin tanis bikadon if you did not use the object, you were not sholeach yad. Sure. Rav Chiya on the other polar extreme says you're only chayav for geneva kefil if you were sholeach yad bikadon, and in the middle you have the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that it works either way. If you were Sholech Yad V'Pikadon, you will be Chayev. If you weren't Sholech Yad V'Pikadon, you will still be Chayev. And in any event, you're Chayev. Even if it's Omed, what was the language? Omedes Alavusa, there was no Shlichas Yad V'Pikadon, you're still Chayev. But at the same token, we're going to add the word Afilu to Rabbi Yochanan and say that if you were Sholech Yad V'Pikadon, you are certainly Chayev.
Kefil.
Kefil. Everything is about kefil.
All of them is kefil. Yeah. Even when you're not sholeach yad, you're kefil.
Right. Now, in the next piece of Gemara, the Gemara is going to attack Rav Sheshes, and then make an effort to defend him against the attack. The attack against Rav Sheshis is predicated on three shvuos. There are three shvuos that every shomer has to take. One shvuah is, okay, let's read it inside. Omer Rav Nachman, hello, shalosh shvuos mashpino. So number one, shvuah shalom pashati ba, meaning I lived up to my responsibility, my obligation of shmirah. There was no pshia. Shvuah number two, shalosh shalachti ba yad. I didn't use the object and misappropriate for my own purposes. And number three, shvuah she'ena birshusi, which means basically it was stolen. I don't have your cow, it was stolen. But again, I have to add a shvuah that not only was it stolen, but that the ganav stole it, not because I let it roam, you know, I didn't lock it up in a pen, but the ganav somehow stealthily dug in and, you know, he bored his way in under the gate and he stole it. So that's called shalom pashati. Now, Rav Nachman is going to assume that all these three shvuos are interrelated. In other words, there's a unit here that's made up of three shvuos, a harkava mizgit of some sort, and therefore we're going to learn one from the other. My love, shvuah shalosh shalachti bo yad dumya de shvuah she'ena birshusi. There's got to be some equation between these two shvuos. He's not focused on Pshia right now, because that's not nogeh to his discussion. He wants to attack Rav Sheshis. And he wants to say the following. When is the Toein Tanis Ganav Chayav Kefel? Well, certainly when he takes a shvuah that ain't a bershusi, to the effect that it was stolen and I don't have it. Ma shvuah she'ena bershusi, then Edom come and testify that what? That he's really holding on to Yedem's cow, to the Mafkid's cow. Ki migle milsa, when we clarify that, the Isa Rishus, that the cow is indeed in his Rishus, Chayav he has to pay, Kefel, is Af Shvur Shalosh Shalachti Bayad, Ki Magalia Milsa the Shalach Bayad, Chayav, he's Chayav Kefel. Meaning when the Edom say, we testify to the fact that he did use the animal to plow his field, he was Shalach Yad, he's going to be Chayav Kefel. Now, there's a very strange addition here of Rashi. The Rashi is at the end of the skinny lines, and he says, Af shvur shalo shalachti bayad, says Rashi, Ki mishtakach shakron, when we find out that he lied, he perjured himself in that shvur of shalo shalachti bayad, nami chayav kefel. Okay, that's not a chiddush, he's just reiterating, you know, he's rechewing what we have in the Gemara, but he says mishum shvuah she'ena bershusi. What is Rashi talking about here? What do you mean he's chayev kefel? He's chayev kefel because he stole the cow. Why is Rashi telling me that he's chayev kefel because of the shvuah she'ena bershusi? I mean, the whole purpose of Rav Nachman's equation here is to derive the conclusion that even though the Edom testified that he was shaleach yad b'pikadon, he's chayev kefel nevertheless. So why does Rashi say that as a result of this shvuah of shalosh shalachti b'yad, he's chayev kefel because of the shvuah she'ena bershusi?
I hear you.
So it seems that Rashi was bothered, I think, by the following question. I mean, nobody in my Gemara touches on this. Usually in the footnotes, you know, he would raise this question. But the best I can come up with is that Rashi's trying to figure out, why is this Ganav Chayav? He can't be Chayav because of the Shvuah Shalosh Shalach to Goyah. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Because, again, the Maisa Machayav here of Kefel is Gneva, not shlichus yad b'pikadon. And the gneva is a combination, it's a fusion of A plus B, of the kfira, that I'm not holding on to your cow, together with the shvur sheker of Eina Bershusi. So Rashi's trying to rack his brains and say, well, how can you tell me that he's chayav kefil because of the shvur of shalosh shalachti b'yad? True, I can accept the logic of Rav Nachman, by virtue of this analogy, that even though he was Shaleach Bayad, and the Edom testified to that effect, nevertheless he still Chayv Kefel, and that's based on the equation with the Shvuah of Eina Bershusi, that if the Edom proved that Shvuah was a plagiarized Shvuah, and he did have the cow in his Rishus, then he's Chayv Kefel. So too, when the Edom testified that he took a different Shvuah Sheker, namely, He lied when he said lo shalachti bayad, and we testified that he was shalach yad. He's going to be chayev kefel. But Rashi was bothered. Why is he chayev kefel? If you read the Gemara, he says af shvush lo shalachti bayad, etc., etc. Chayev. Does that mean that he's chayev because he was sholeach yad, or he took a shmur that he wasn't sholeach yad, and it turned out that he plagiarized himself? Rashi says, I can't understand that. Because shlichas yad pikod might make him into a gazlan, he's chayv on somebody, but he doesn't pay kefel. So Rashi therefore adds a knetch over here. And Rashi says that all Rav Nachman wants to get, all he wants to prove and conclude from this whole equation between the shmurs, is to prove that even though the Eidim testified that he was sholeach yad, he's going to be chayv kefel. But he's not chayv kefil, says Rashi, for the eno lo shalachti bayat. That's not enough of a reason to be mechayv from kefil. There's only one shvur that can be mechayv from kefil, and that's shvur sheinu bershusi. The fact that he's chayv, even though, despite the fact that he was shalach yad v'pikadon, that's absolutely true, and that conclusion we're going to derive from the shvur. But he's not chayv because of the shvur. He cannot be chayv because of the shvur. That shvur is on shlichas yad. Shlichas yad would never be relevant to kefil. The only obligation to pay kefil is generated by eino bershusi. He took a shvur that he didn't have it. He's not holding on to his cow, but he is holding on to his cow. That's gneva. And when the eidim testify that he took that false oath, they make him into a ganav, and he's chayev kefil. So Rashi wants to point out that ultimately he's chayev in all situations because of the shvua sheker of Eina Bershusi. The Gemara never meant to say that he's chai for the shvua sheker of Lo Shalachti Boyat. The Gemara just wants to prove that when we establish that he is holding on to Yedim's animal, and even though he was Shalach Yad B'Pikadon, because the Eidim testified that his oath on Shlichus Yad was a false oath, he's going to pay kefel, but again, he's going to pay kefel despite the fact that he was Shalach Yad, but not because of the fact that he was Shalach Yad. He's chayav for the shvur, he's chayav kefel for the shvur of Eidim Bershusi. That's the act of Gneva. In any event, we see clearly from this equation that despite the fact that he was Shalach Yad because he's chayav kefel, that's against Rav Sheshes. See, Rav Yochanan would have no problem with this, because Rav Yochanan holds Lamaskana, according to the Rosh and the Rashba, that even in the case where he's Shalach Yad because he still pays kefel. And this would certainly be a wonderful proof for the Shita of Rav Chia that he's only Chayav Kefel if he was Shalach Yad V'Bikad. But Rav Sheshes is in trouble. Amalei, so Rav Sheshes says, I'm not impressed by your question. Lo, we do not accept this equation between the Shvur of Shalosh Shalachti Bayad and the Shvur of Eina Bershusi. But rather, Shvur Shalosh Shalachti Bayad, Duvya, Dilo Pashati Ba. Right, there were three shvuas, and the question is the middle shvuah, which is Shalosh Shalachti Bayad, should I equate it with this or with that? So you, in your premise, you were equating Shalosh Shalachti Bayad with Eino Bershusi. I would equate it with Shalosh Pashati. Ma shvuah Shalosh Pashati Ba, if let's say the Eidim testified that he was Poshea and he took a false oath, Chimig Migalia Milsa, De Poshaba, Potomi Kefel, because there's only a Chi of Kefel for stealing, not for being Poshea. Again, I wouldn't give him a Shlishi or Shvi for Shishi for Parsha Zohar the Shabbos. I wouldn't give Mafti for Parsha Zohar because he took a false oath and he was Poshea. But Pshia is only Machai from Karen and not Kefel. Is af shvur shalosh shalachti bayad ki megalia milsa, when we find out through Eidim that he perjured himself and in fact he was shalach bayad, is potomi kefil, he doesn't pay kefil. Okay, Rabosai, what time is it?
Almost one.
Rabosai, from here on in the going gets a little rough. If it wasn't rough enough, I told
it was terribly rough before.
Okay, this next Gemara is a doozy. Okay, I'm going to try to do the best job I can, but I'm not promising you it's limited liability here. Okay, boy, Rabbi Bar Chama, mamish now at the bottom of Kuf Zayin on the base, last three lines on the dot. Okay. Now we know, just by way of introduction, that there are two chiyuvim that a shomer might incur by virtue of a false oath. One is called chomesh, and that adds, and you add to that an asham, and the other is called kefel. And the two cases are the following. When is the shomer chayev chomesh? When is he chayev kefel? Let's say, for example, the shomer came up with a claim, let's say avad, you know, and then he took a shvur sheker, the Edom testified that he has it. So then, in that case, by virtue of the shvur sheker, he pays chomesh, an additional payment to the keren, plus he has to bring a korban asher. If, on the other hand, he was toin a tainas ganov, and then the Edom, and after the shvur, the Edom testified that he's holding on to the cow, then he pays kefel. The Gemara wants to analyze here, is there a possibility of an overlap in this relationship? Could it be that he might be chayev both chomesh and kefil, or does one bounce off the other? Okay, that just on a superficial level, you know, is it an either or situation, or theoretically it could be both? Mamon hamachayvo kefil potro mina chomesh. In other words, if this cow generates a chiyuv kefel because of the whole story of toin tanis ganav and then he took a shvua, is that itself potro by definition is going to exempt him from a chiyuv chomesh because they cannot coexist? It's either or. O dilma, or shall we say shvua machayvoso kefel? That if he took a shvua and for that shvua he's chayuv kefel, then he doesn't pay chomesh, right? But it's not that he won't, that it's impossible for a shomer to be chayev simultaneously both kefel and chomesh. If there was one shvua, and that shvua was a shvua of eino bershusi, and in fact he's holding on to the cow, that's machayev im kefel. So that shvua could not generate a chiyuv chomesh. So one shvua cannot generate, in addition to kefel, also chomesh. But that doesn't mean that you cannot have a shomer who might be chayev on the same cow, for the same cow, both kefel and chomesh. Hechi domi. So what's the case? In other words, give me an afkamina here. This chakira sounds very abstract. And my Rebbe used to always teach us that there's no such thing as a chakira without an afkamina. Unless you went to a certain yeshiva. I'm not going to mention that yeshiva. You could ask me afterwards. But there was a guy, by the way, who came to the Rav Shia from that yeshiva. And he, they didn't tip him off. So the Rav asked for a hezber. And on the very first day in the Rav Shia, he said, a hezber with a hakira. So the Rav said, you must be a so-and-so, meaning he came from that yeshiva. And he knew he had just come in by plane from that yeshiva.
I knew which tells. Yeah. It tells the hakiras.
Anyway, that's where in that yeshiva they used to wonder if the cup is half filled or half empty. So in Brisk they didn't like such a hakira, because my nafkamina, it's half empty and half filled. You know, every hakira has to have an nafkamina. So hechi dami, give me a in the lawyers say, how does it cut ice? You know, what's the nafkamina? He says the following: Kigon shetan tainas ganav v'nishpa. So initially, the shomer put forth a taina of what? Of ganav, and he took a shvur. And then chazar v'tan tainas avad v'nishpa. Now again, we said before that there's no need for a second shvur. One shvur will cut the mustard. That's enough. The second shvur is no longer shvuras hadayon. But the possibility exists in terms of chomesh that requirement we could drop. I mean, that's going to be a complicated sugya. So we'll get back to that point in just a minute. As I said, there are many different facets to the sugya. Let's see what we can figure out. Now we're turning to Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. Bo Edim Akamaisa. What it means is that his first shvuah was that it was what? It was stolen. Now the Edom testify that it wasn't stolen. V'hoda abasraisa. However, the shomer in this case was not moda, right, on the first claim. In other words, even though the Edom testified that it was not stolen, Right? Well, he's testifying. Not. They're testifying that we know that it wasn't stolen.
How do you do that?
How do you know that?
How do they know that it wasn't stolen? Okay, hang in there. Okay, but the point is that the testimony of the Edom did not move the Shomer. There made no. He was not inspired, and he insists on not relating to the Shomer. What does he admit? Vehoda Abasraisa. He admits that his second claim, which was Aveda, was a false claim, and he perjured himself. That he's willing to confess. Okay, and the Bikodim was not lost. It was not lost.
He's lost on both counts then, isn't he?
Okay. My. What should we say about this? Now let's see if we can fill in the different studim in Rami Bar Chama's Sofek and the repercussions thereof. My. Shall we say that A, Mon HaMechayvaso Kofel, a Kefel, is Potro Min HaChomesh, V'ha Ichayvele Iloye Kfela, by virtue of the first shvua that he took, and he denied that it was stolen, the Edom are testifying that it was stolen, he becomes chayev on this cow in Kefel. Again, it's all because of the first claim in which he denied that it was stolen, and the shvua thereof, is therefore the second shvua, which was that it was Avad, and now he admits that it wasn't Avad, could not generate a Chiyuv Chomesh. And why is that so? Because you cannot pay both Kefel and Chomesh for the same object, for the same cow, value of a cow. Oh, Dilma, let's take the second side in Rami Bar Chama. What was the second side? Shvua Machayvaso Kefel, Potroso Min HaChomesh. In other words, you cannot be Chayev for the same false oath, both Kefel and Chomesh, but Vaha Shvua Basraisa, but now he took a second Shvua. Hoil de lo kamachaivale Kefel, but the second Shvua has nothing to do with a Chiv Kefel, and therefore there's the power of that Shvua to be Machaivim Chomesh, is to Chaivenu, to Chaive Chumsha. In other words, what?
They stand independently.
Correct. What is the interdependence in which they cannot exist coexist, and what is the interdependence where they can coexist, and each one is independent of the other one? If it's the mammon, then there's no way, no how, that you can be chay both kefel and chomesh for the same mammon. If on the other hand it's the shvua, then I don't care if it's the same mammon as long as it's not the same shvua. So what Rabbi Bar Chama has done is he came up with a scenario in which, although the Karen and Chomesh are both being engendered by the same Mammon, but they're being engendered by two different Shvuas. Let's go over it. In this case where the Edom testified against his first claim, he claimed that it was stolen, they claim it was not stolen. In such a case, there's a Chiyuv Kefel by virtue of the first Shvua. Now, he took a second Shvua that it was lost. And there was no testimony against his second claim and his second shvua, but there was a hodaya. Now, in the context of chomesh, a hodaya, as we once discussed at great length, is part of the process of generating a chiyuv chomesh. But the only problem is he's already engendered, by virtue of his first shvua, a chiyuv kefal on this very same cow. And if you assume that the same moment cannot engender both Kefel and Chomesh, then he's going to be Chayiv Kefel, but not Chomesh. If, on the other hand, the problem is not the Mammon, the cow, but rather the Shvua, well, guess what? In this case, the first Chayiv Kefel, the Chayiv Kefel, I should say, is engendered by the first Shvua, correct? Because the Edom testified that it was not stolen, and he took a Shvua that it was stolen, for that he has to pay Kefel. But the Chiyuv Chomesh in this case, on the same cow, is not engendered by that first Shvua, but rather by the second Shvua. Because with regard to the second Shvua, namely that the object was lost, he himself admits now that the object was not lost, and that I took a false oath. That those are the exact ingredients which are necessary to engender a Chiyuv Chomesh. He's already Chayiv Kefel. The answer is he's Chayiv Kefel for the first Shvua. It's the second shvua of Shlo of Nevad, which now he admits, he confesses Lo Nevad, that's going to generate Chiyuv Chomesh. So if the problem is that, you know, one shvua cannot engender two chiyuvim, well, here we have two separate shvuas. If on the other hand the problem is that one mamon cannot engender two chiyuvim, namely chomesh and kefal and chomesh, then we have one mamon. Amar Rava, okay, we're going to try to fit this in under the bell. Amar Rava Toshma, he has a raya from a brisa. What does the brisa say? A person, Amar Liyechid Min Ashuk, a person, the plaintiff comes to someone who is in the street. He's not a shomer or anything. And he says to him, Heichon Shori Sheganavti, you stole my cow. But who Omer Lo Ganavti? He denies the claim. Mashviach ani, I'm going to impose a shvu on you that you didn't steal my cow. V'yomar, and the defendant who denied it, amen, he responds, amen. In other words, he took a shvu.
He's out of base.
Not in front of base.
Okay, so we'll get to that too. Everything is going to come to the fore here. V'yomar eidim so shegnovo. Now we have testimony against him that he falsified his shvu and he stole the object. Says the Raisa Mishalim Tashlume Kefel. Again, even though the Shvuah took place outside of Bezdin, it's not a Shvuah Sadayonim. Mm-hmm. But since the Edom testified that he took a false oath, he's going to be Chayav Tashlume Kefel as a Ganav. So now we have an interesting case. In addition to Toin Titus Ganav Bipikodon, where the Shomer took a false oath that he didn't steal it, when in fact he stole it. So to a Ganav, when he takes a false oath that he didn't steal it, but in fact he stole it, in a classical Gneva situation, he has to pay Kefel because of that false oath that he took.
He doesn't pay Chomesh.
Oh, now what about Chomesh? So the Braisa continues, V'yim hoda me'atzmo, if he admits that he, before the Edom come in, he admits that he took a false oath and he is the Ganov. In that case, Mishalim Keren V'Chomesh V'Yosham. Again, I don't have a problem with that, other than the fact that it was a Shvu outside of Bezdin that we have to come to grips with. But the Gemara has a different kind of problem here, and that is that why is this Braisa dropping the claim of Kefel? After all, since he took a shvua that he did not steal the object, and in fact he did steal the object, and Edom testified to the effect that he stole the object, that shvua should generate a chiyuv kefel. No, so you're going to say, this chomesh. Oh, what we're going to have to impose here or deduce here is that you cannot be chayv both chomesh
and keren
and kefel on the same mamon. And keep in mind, Rabosai, that the chiyuv kefel here came later than the chiyuv chomesh, because he admitted his crime. He was holding the atzmo even before the Edom came in. So he already, at the moment of hodah, incurred a chiyuv chomesh, and now when the Edom come in, he incurs a chiyuv kefel. So the Gemara answers, why shouldn't he be chayav kefel in this case? And the answer is that, just one second, I lost the place. Hoda me'atzmo in, why is it that he doesn't pay kefel? It's because before the Edom came in, he already confessed his crime that he perjured himself, and therefore he incurred a chiv chomesh by virtue of his confession. And lo, I'm sorry, me'atzmo in, aval hoda achar ha'edim, let's say the Edom came in first, lo, in such a case, it'd be chayv kefel and not chomesh. V'isalke daitoch, shvua ha'mechayvoso keren.
Kefel.
I'm sorry, kefel. Ipotraso min, HaChomesh, in other words, the problem is not that you can't be chayv both kefel and chomesh simultaneously, but the problem is that one shvua cannot incur or generate both a chiv kefel and a chiv chomesh. Is amai, why does this brisa imply that hoda liachar ha'edim, if the hodoya took place after the edim, lo, he's not chayv chomesh? Why couldn't he be chayv chomesh? Michti, hashvua lo kama chayv le kefel. And to chayve chomesh, In other words, in this case, we don't have a problem that the only problem here is not a problem of shvuah, it's only a problem of mammon. In other words, how can it be chayev? In other words, as far as shvuah is concerned, we don't have a problem over here. Our only problem is mammon. So if you're going to take the first tzad in Rabbi Bar Chaim, everything fits beautifully. That if he was moda first, that hodah would engender a chiyuv chomesh, and therefore he's parted from kefal, and then the brisa works out beautifully because one mammon cannot be mechayev both chomesh and kefal. But if you're telling me one mammon could simultaneously engender both kefal and chomesh, the only problem is that we can't have one shvuah, then that's not relevant to this case. El olav shmamina mamon amachayvo kefel potraso minachomesh shmamina. That the problem here is not a problem of one shvua generating two chiyuvim, but rather what? One mamon generating two chiyuvim. And therefore, in this case, the Gemara says, michti hashvua loka machayvo le kefel. The Shvuah did not engender a Chayiv Kefil, because even without the Shvuah he was Chayiv Kefil, because he was a Ganav. In other words, maybe you'll tell me that this Shvuah is Machayiv in both Kefil and Chomesh, and now we have a problem even in Hilchos Shvuah. The answer is, it's Chayiv Kefil not because of the Shvuah. The Shvuah doesn't add or subtract anything as far as the Chayiv Kefil. He was already Chayiv Kefil by the fact that he stole the object, and that's going to be Machayiv him Kefil, and therefore the Shvuah is irrelevant to Kefel. The Shvuah is only relevant to Chomesh. And when he was Modeh that he took a false oath, he's Chayev Chomesh. So why isn't he Chayev Kefel as well as Chomesh? The answer is that one Momon can't be Mechayev both. Shmamino, Momon Hamachayvoso, Kefel Potroso, Mina Chomesh, Shmamino.
Why can't